Hello again. You're listening to the News at 1. Queues at filling stations, pumps running dry, deliveries postponed. Britain's Petrol Retail Association says up to two-thirds of its 5,500 members are out of fuel, with the remainder partly dry and expected to run out soon. A shortage of haulage drivers in the UK has led to a crisis at the pumps, with queues forming at many filling stations and motorists turned away as supplies dry up. The British government has announced plans to offer temporary visas to thousands of EU drivers to try to avert even more shortages in the run-up to Christmas. We'll be getting reaction to that in just a moment. But first, I've been talking to Brian Madison, chairman of the UK Petrol Retailers Association, which represents retailers in Britain and Northern Ireland. What I asked him is he hearing from his members.
Well, we have spoken to members in Northern Ireland, including Circle K and Henderson's and Maxwell and others, and they report that there is no problem with fuel supplies at the main terminals in Derry and Belfast. There are no tanker driver shortages of note, and the fuel is getting through to the forecourts without difficulty. So, delighted to confirm that Northern Ireland is not exhibiting the same manic panic buying that we have on the mainland.
So what then is the picture in Britain itself?
It really goes with the vehicle density and therefore the population density. So Highlands and Islands and rural areas of Scotland, fine. Same for the West Country, same for Wales. But where there are high population densities and therefore vehicle densities, we are seeing quite extreme, in fact, frenzied panic buying, which started after a member of industry or a civil servant leaked a very confidential BP submission to the Cabinet last week. And from that moment, which was Wednesday night, from that moment onwards, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even through to today, there's been a panic buying at the pumps in main towns and city centres, to the extent that some of our members are reporting with groups right across sites right across the UK are reporting 50% of their sites are dry and others are partly dry. And an extreme, one of our group members reported 90% of his sites were dry. So this is clearly quite a severe situation, and I think has come as a surprise to both government and industry, because the last time we had anything like this of magnitude was in 2000, and of course we had probably, instead of 8,500 forecourts, we had over 13,000, and we had far fewer vehicles on the road. So now we've got the perfect storm of fewer forecourts with less stock underground, much higher levels of vehicle population, and they are coming and just scooping up all the fuel they can find, which is why we have got fuel deserts in most of the main cities and towns.
And it's just impossible for your members, for the operators, to bring in supplies from the refineries quickly enough to replace the fuel that's going out through the pumps.
Yes, exactly, because the refineries and the terminals say they've got plentiful supply of stock, but there is a finite number of approved tankers for moving this highly volatile, inflammable liquid around, and a finite number of drivers. And the problem was starting to become that the number of trained HGV tanker drivers was reducing. And this was the paper that BP had put to the government. Had it not been leaked, I think there would not be the problem we have today. So the issue was caused entirely by the leak. But there was in the background some long-term industry issues about how well they were rewarding the tanker drivers, these very experienced tanker drivers, and how well they were actually managing the situation going forward. Mm.
So this plan now that the British government has to issue short-term visas to try to bring in drivers to deal with this, will that be essential to get this under control and to get the fuel flowing again?
It's just one of the several levers that we as industry have been discussing with the government. Another lever is to provide a big pot for training HGV drivers through the Department of Education. Another is to try under the protocol, which was issued last night, which relieves companies of competition rules, the possibility of sharing tankers. So a Shell tanker fills up at a BP terminal and vice versa and delivers to a BP forecourt and vice versa. So some extra flexibility there. But we feel one of the main culprits for this logjam is, in fact, the driver and vehicle licensing agency, which reports to the Department of Transport. And their hauliers tell us they've got up to 40,000 unprocessed requests from UK citizens for HGV driver licenses. And that has come about because the DVLA, the staff have been on strike during the pandemic, staff have been working from home, and clearly they have been far less productive than anyone would wish to have seen.
Brian Madison, chairman of the UK Petrol Retailers Association. Well, will temporary work visas be enough to encourage European truck drivers to go to the UK? Just before coming on air, I spoke to Edwin Atima, who's head of research and investigation at the Federation of European Drivers Unions, the FVB. Did he think EU drivers would be enticed to work in the UK?
I think this is unrealistic and a plan based on panic, because that the industry needs drivers has a clear reason. Yeah, because the working conditions are so poor and the industry has such a bad state for drivers, yeah, that drivers simply left the industry. And this cannot be solved overnight by only offering higher salaries.
So, for example, figures of £1,000 a week for drivers to work temporarily in Britain, you don't think that's going to result in any significant recruitment?
No, I don't think so. If a worker has a employment contract in the EU, would he quit his job for a temporary adventure in the UK? And from a broader perspective, drivers are now recruited already, for example, even from outside the EU, with offering high standards and everything what a stable workplace should look like. And time after time after time, companies are not delivering. They simply lie about labor conditions. So we also see that drivers simply do not trust these offers anymore in general.
And specifically in relation to Britain, what kind of conditions are drivers operating under?
In 2021, issues are still there about the use of toilets and access to clear water. And in many cases, even human rights, it's not big words, but even human rights are broken. If the right to use toilet facilities are denied, yeah, that's a really poor signal to the industry, not exclusively related to only the UK, but also in other parts of Europe. Yeah, and as long as toilet facilities is still a discussion, yeah, how serious is an industry then to raise standards?
So these are drivers who perhaps would spend a number of days on the road and effectively are living in their trucks, in their cabs.
Yeah, so what we had there is basically two categories of workers. Workers who are employed in the country where they effectively work. And then it's normal to spend a week in your vehicle. That's nature of the industry. But where we see that companies from abroad enter other markets, such as the UK, yeah, we dare see that drivers weeks and even months in a row are isolated in their trucks. My team interviews workers every weekend, and those workers quote that a truck even feels being like locked up in a prison. And that's the state of the industry.
So even drivers who perhaps prior to Brexit were operating in the UK, were operating in Britain, you think would be reluctant to go back there?
No, I don't think that will happen on a massive scale. It's too late, too little, and I think the industry needs to do more fundamental to attract workers from the continent again to start working in the UK on a massive scale.
Do you see a way in which continental drivers could be attracted back into Britain? What would need to be done? I mean, first of all, in terms of the visa arrangements, these are very limited, aren't they? 3-month visas, you're gone again by Christmas.
Yeah. So the stories we hear already that why should the worker quit his job in the EU to work temporary in the EU and in the UK and kicked out again on Christmas Eve after the work is done? Yeah, I think that's unrealistic.
So at the very least, they'd need to look at the terms of the visa and then the kind of working conditions. If they've any hope, you believe, in recruiting the sort of numbers of drivers they really desperately need if they're to keep the shelves full and the fuel still flowing through the pumps.
Yeah, exactly. But more needs to be done than handing out temporary visas. The multinationals who are now in the news rewarding drivers for bonuses to get into their supply chain, and that are the same companies who caused this pandemic of exploitation and the lack on drivers. Because years and years and years, these multinationals saw transport as an area where they can cut prices, demand cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And this is the result. And because this industry is not stopping at the moment because driver went on strike, it's even more bad. This industry stops because the drivers voted with their feet and left the profession. That's even more a clear system, a signal that more and fundamental stuff needs to be done to raise standards again and to make this profession great again. Because I drove a truck 10 years myself, and it's still a great profession, but not if you need to fight to use a toilet.
So does this mean, Edwin, that the problems that we're seeing in Britain at the moment, it's only a matter of time, is it, before they begin to occur elsewhere in Europe, or are they already occurring? Are there driver shortages?
Yeah, all across the EU are driver shortages, and it's like a bit like a waterbed. Eh? So the driver shortage in the Netherlands is filled up by companies who try to increase standards, but these same companies are put off out of competition by carriers from the East who recruit drivers from outside the EU, label them, for example, in Lithuania, reward these drivers with Lithuanian working contracts, and then set them to work in Western Europe. And we see that those drivers who from outside of the EU are even more exploited than the drivers we had already. So in a normal market mechanism, if there is a shortage, the price goes up. But in this industry, if there is a shortage, we go even further east to find even more cheapest drivers who we/the industry can exploit even more. So that shows the complete social bankruptcy of this industry. Because in the end, even if those multinationals on the top of the supply chain are willing to change, they don't even know which companies play fair and which companies play not fair, which is basically my job to investigate it, to divide the good guys from the bad guys.
And in terms of drivers being brought in from outside the EU, from countries beyond the European Union, is that because there's a loophole or are they breaking the law?
No. Rewarding visas is still a domestic political decision. For example, Lithuania and Poland are two hotspots where drivers from outside the EU are recruited on a massive scale. So that's a national policy. But then it's not like that these workers were factually work in Lithuania. They never drove a truck in Lithuania. They get labeled as Lithuanian employee, mm-hmm. but set to work in Western Europe. And if you then zoom into the labor standards of these workers, not even the Lithuanian labor legislation is respected. And so these workers are stripped and ripped off even more than local workers.
And that was Edwin Atima from the European Federation of Haulage Drivers. Well, let's talk now to Eugene Drennan, who's president of the Irish Road Haulage Association. A very good afternoon to you, Eugene Drennan. Thank you
for taking
our call this afternoon. We'll come to some of these wider issues raised there by Edwin Atima in just a moment, but specifically in relation to the situation in the UK, this bonus being offered, short-term visas by Britain for drivers to come in and to try to alleviate the particular shortage that the UK is experiencing at the moment. Do you think that is going to be effective at attracting drivers in from EU countries like, for example, Ireland?
No, I think your last speaker gave a very balanced view of that. But if it only attracts a certain proportion, we are now short of drivers here and across Europe. So anything that would be siphoned away causes havoc a little bit, or we can't afford to lose anymore. And in his piece where he said, why will they not come with the conditions in the UK? one of the big things, if you recall, Brian, they shut down Calais, the Dover-Calais crossing, before Christmas of last year. They left drivers in no man's land in a lot of difficulty. And any of those people who saw that or were involved with it or connected to it are afraid to go near UK. But if you just have a port of drivers from Ireland or from other European countries that are attracted by very, very big money being offered now, then it does cause a knock-on effect.
We should emphasise we're not facing anything like the situation that the UK is in at the moment, and I think even Northern Ireland is managing to avoid these problems from what we heard earlier from the Petrol Retailers Association. But as you say, and as we heard there from the European perspective, there is a shortage of drivers right across Europe. Is it about the lowering of standards and poor conditions, and that the profession needs to be made more attractive again?
It's a mixture of a number of things. One is that we weren't, in fairness, or the level of wages wasn't high enough in the last few years, because it was high volume and people had to try and mind their customer, and there was a lot of competition, and we didn't get the money. It has filtered through. People have realized now it is coming, it's back to getting good wages and maybe get better. That's sorted. We've been very slow. The Irish Road Haulage Association, our vice president, has worked for 2.5 years to get a course to bring young people a traineeship through the Institutes of Technology. And over two years later, it's only getting underway. Now it's piecemeal. Waterford, Wexford, very good. The rest of the country may have a course, may not have a course. We haven't had the filter in at the younger end. The dynamics, the age of the driver is now at 57 on average. So more going out, less coming in. And then we depended on Eastern Europe, who went home for the COVID and haven't returned as of yet.
But it's also, according to Edwin Etima there, it's also drivers been recruited from outside the EU, brought in under EU regulations, although yes, even those, he says, not being applied, and undercutting those operating, trying to make a career, trying to make a living out of the business in Europe.
We wouldn't see quite as much here as what he outlined there, but that is happening because, like we have bilateral travel arrangements with the UK, they have some very old arrangements with their neighbouring countries, some of whom have ended up outside the EU now, and people have filtered through and get in, get nationality or get papers underhand or by the back door, and say Moldova can slip into Romania reasonably well, Ukraine can come into Lithuania. There is a portion of it, but I don't think it's big widespread, certainly not to this side of the world. But having said that, we are too limited in the number of countries that we allow into here for exchange of license by permit. We have only 5 countries we have a pool we can go to because of the conditions, the way they're set.
And just a final question, Eugene Drennan. You mentioned the average age of drivers now well into their 50s. What sort of numbers of recruits does the business need, even just to stand still, to replace those who are retiring?
We need 2,000 to 3,000 drivers tomorrow, Brian. We need 5,000 definitely at the start of next year, because if things continue to open up and we expand. Now, that might be we may get some more Eastern area drivers back to us, but we still have a huge need, and we badly as a country need a sense of urgency to streamline our protocols for drivers, to get back to the basis of making an attractive job without as much heavy regulation. We don't want to cut standards, but we're over-regulated, and how we administer that regulation is far too heavy-handed.
Eugene Drennan, President of the Irish Road Haulage Association, thank you for that.